You turn, please, to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 2. Just before I read, a comment or two on Fort McMurray. I was there 2 weeks ago. I left and the fire started, but it's not my fault. However, the news today is that the fire is racing towards northern Saskatchewan. If it keeps going in the direction it's going, it will eventually get into the tundra and eventually the Arctic Ocean. I'm not sure what damage it will do up there. So it's racing away from McMurray is the bottom line. The other thing I suppose we should be aware of is that the authorities have said that people won't be going back to McMurray very soon, whatever that means. Now, the Christians up there have been meeting for a number of years in a little community center in an area that was called Waterways. That little building is actually a condemned building. Waterways has been 90% destroyed. So I don't know whether the little building is gone or not. No one does at this point. Nor does anyone know whether they'll be able to use the little building again. The new Gospel Hall is up in the northwest side of the city, and to my knowledge, there has not been much damage up in that area. So all believers have gotten out. All believers are safe, as far as I know, and I've been checking with most of them. There was one young man that arranged to purchase a house, and that house has burned down, but the transaction, whether it was complete or not, I don't know. So at this point, all the believers are safe. We don't know of any property losses with them, and the fire is racing its own merry way to nowhere. So you can pray for the wind to stay as it is, or don't ask for it to change. Pray for rain. Shall we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2? Now, for some reason tonight, I'm going in a different direction as well. You're going to wonder what I'm up to. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1. Don't tell me it's the wrong time of the year. Matthew 2 and verse 1. I rather enjoy Matthew chapter 2, by the way. And I find, for some reason, there's an awful lot of believers who don't seem to have this story just tied down the way it should be. So we're going to read it, and I want to look at three things for a few minutes tonight. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Incidentally, in Matthew, you read two times where all Jerusalem was troubled. One is the coming of the wise men at the birth of the Lord Jesus, and the other is the entrance of the Lord Jesus into the city, Matthew 21. And when he, that is King Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Now, verse 6 is a quotation 700 plus years earlier from Micah chapter 5. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, notice that word, diligently, what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Verse 9, please. "When they had heard the king, they departed, And lo, the star which they saw in the east, what's the wording, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now may the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. I have three things on my mind in relation to this story. And I want to think just one little lesson from the overall of this tonight. And that will be the guidance of God. Now, you wouldn't ordinarily go to Matthew 2 for the guidance of God, would you? But anyway, here we are. Let me say this first. You will all appreciate reading your Bibles that the birth story of the Lord Jesus is only found in Matthew and Luke, not in Mark and not in John. You likely all are aware from the youngest up here today that Matthew's account is different from Luke's account. Luke's account deals with the shepherds, you remember. Matthew deals with the wise men. Luke's account deals with the shepherds coming into the town of Bethlehem to the manger at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Matthew's account obviously deals with the wise men coming quite some distance and some significant time later. In Luke's account, it's a babe in a manger. In Matthew, it's a child in the house. And very readily, when you look at the two, you will appreciate this. There's a time element. Herod inquired diligently as to when that star was seen. It's fairly obvious he associated the appearance of the star with the birth of the child. So that would mean that the wise men took some time, a day or two, a week or two, whatever, to get ready to make this long journey. It would mean they took some days, at least, to make that journey. Then from Jerusalem, they go to Bethlehem, and then from Bethlehem, they go back a different way, and it will take some time before Herod realizes they're not coming back to me. Then he begins to take action. And his action is taken with regard to children 2 and under, and you can be assured that he left himself a safety margin. He's not going to miss this child by a day or so. So in all of that, it means that there's a span of time between Matthew 2 and Luke 2. What I want to look at is three aspects in the movement of these men. And it's simply this. I want you to think of them from where they were. That's the east, whatever that means. You can speculate. Is it Babylon or wherever, you know, the Persian Gulf area? They're from over there somewhere. Then I want you to think of the place they come to initially, and that's Jerusalem. Now, this won't surprise most of you, but it might surprise some of you. The star did not lead them to Jerusalem. You're all okay with that? The star did not lead them to Jerusalem. God will never send a divine light to lead people to the wrong place. Then, thirdly, if we have the east, Jerusalem, we have Bethlehem. So I want you to think of these three places in this way. Associated with the east is this light from the sky. Associated with Jerusalem, there's the star. Associated with Jerusalem will be the scriptures. And associated with Bethlehem will be the sun. So the star, the scriptures, and the sun, that's what I'm thinking of. And I just want to pick up the fact of the Lord's working in their lives. Very simple. Now let me say that again. The star did not lead to Jerusalem. Other factors pointed to Jerusalem, but not the direct guidance of God. I read to you very carefully that when they left Jerusalem, the star which they saw in the east. So the star appeared twice. The star appeared on two different occasions. Once when they were back home, and once to take them to the house in Bethlehem. Having said that, think of this. If somebody's going to come to me afterwards and talk about the alignment of constellations and, you know, comets or whatever, listen, I don't mind talking about that kind of stuff, so feel free to do so. But this is not a comet. Right? This is not some periodic event that might happen in the skies. Now, you could argue all you want about what they saw back east, but you will kindly remember this. Neither Halley's Comet nor any other comet is able to light up a single house in a small town like Bethlehem. The star led them to the house. Now, if you want to argue there was a helicopter up there with a searchlight, well, I'm not likely to go along with you, but anyway, do you know what I'm saying? Younger Christians, please listen. Over the years, there's been a lot of speculation, and a lot of individuals have come up with, you know, at this particular time, this constellation was lined up with this planet, and so on. That's all very well for what might have happened back there, but it won't do for the Bethlehem thing. And the Bible says it's the star which they saw back there that led them to the house here. So it won't do for back there either. Just take our Bibles very simple. But let me get to my 3 points quickly. We don't know who these men are. We don't know how many of these men there are. So we won't get into that. But they're from the east. And what I really want to get at is this. I know, as you likely know, that it's not that many hundred years earlier than this that there would have been a man called Daniel back there. I'm speculating a wee bit now. But don't forget the importance of a man like Daniel in these eastern countries. Don't forget the significance of a man like that with his prophecies and the reality of what had happened to these people who had been taken to a Babylon and come back after the 70 years. Those things would be well known. And Daniel happens to have given a book, which we have, Daniel 9, which would have given accounting of a certain period of time, you know, the 70 years of captivity plus the 70 weeks and so on, which would speak of the coming of Messiah. The coming of a king. Now, I do know from secular history that the land that we would call Babylon, Iraq, Iran, whatever, for centuries these people were very, very interested in the whole area of astronomy. In fact, I'm quite familiar with Ptolemy's works that gave us the great modern books, really, of how the universe and the whole star system really worked. And it all stayed there very comfortably until Copernicus and Galileo came along and upset the apple cart. But nevertheless, these men back east were famous for watching these things. So my point is simply this. We have men from back there somewhere who would have known of the coming of the Jewish Messiah. Did they know Isaiah chapter 9? Or did they know of Numbers 24, of a star out of Jacob? I don't know what they knew, but I do know this. There was a day, or perhaps a night, when they saw something that caught their attention. And they decided to check it out. They were little Nicodemuses. You know what I mean by that? There was something that caught their attention, and they decided to check it out. By little Nicodemuses, I mean this. Nicodemus saw the works of the Lord Jesus and decided to check it out by going to Christ. Now, three steps in this little story. Number one, if people will act upon light that God gives them, Simple as that. Act upon light that God gives them. It will, number two, lead them to the Scriptures. That's Jerusalem. And being led to the Scriptures will lead to Christ. That's Bethlehem. That's a simple panorama. If people will only act upon the light that God gives them. Now, I'll raise the question here now. Why Jerusalem? I've already said the star didn't lead them. Why go to Jerusalem? They acted upon the light that they had and put with that what we will call common sense. If there's a Jewish Messiah born, if there's a king born, then quite obviously he will be born into the royal family. He will be born in the capital city. So we better go to King Herod and find the child. Simple as that. Now, what do I mean by this? If only people of our day would act upon what they know or what they see. Now, what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of this. All kinds of our relatives, all kinds of our friends, do they not have some light from God? They have the testimony of Christians. They have stories that they've heard and told of lives changed, of things done by the grace of God. If only they would act in common sense upon what they've seen. Brother Sandy mentioned stories. I'm just going to normally do this, but I'm going to sidetrack for a second and tell you this. Quite some time ago, I was in a particular place, and the man told me this. Do some of you remember, I've never seen it, but anyway, some of you remember that there was a time when certain people flashed up a John 3:16 sign in the stadiums and the whatever around the world? You know of that? Anyway, somebody told me this story. That there was a couple one night sitting down in their home, unbelievers obviously, and sitting down in their home watching some sports thing, and all of a sudden this cardboard John 3:16 pops up. And then a little bit later it happens again. And the man says to his wife, "What's that? What's that?" She didn't know. He didn't know. John 3:16, what's that? So they asked somebody else, a neighbor like. And somebody finally says to them, now you talk about, listen, you talk about somebody coming to the Lord. So the neighbor says, that's something to do with the Bible. Something to do with the Bible. And so sometime later, somebody else passes on a wee bit of information. That sign is on some building down there in the other part of the city. So the man decided he'd go see what this John 3:16 was all about. Now, it could have been an advertisement for anything. He didn't know. So he went down, and sure enough, there's this building, and there's this sign, John 3:16. So he decided he'd go in some evening, the time of the meeting was there, and see what it's all about. And when he went in that evening, there was a man got up to preach, and he opened his Bible. You're ahead of me, aren't you? He opened his Bible to John 3:16 and explained, and this dear man listened, went home, told his wife, and thought he'd go back next week and see what this is all about. He went back next week, a different man, but same Bible. And another man got up and opened his Bible, John 3:16. Do you know where all this leads? All this leads to that man and his wife getting saved. Unreal. All he saw was a cardboard sign. Now my point, if people would only act upon what God sends them. So why did he go to Jerusalem? Common sense. So Christians, let's not be terribly concerned when people take their first step towards the things of God, if they just don't go in the right direction the first time. See, there's a wee bit of common sense coming in here. But God is not going to leave a seeking individual floundering in the wrong place. So they come to the capital city. They come to the king. Obviously, the child is in the capital city and the king's son. Well, not so obvious. He's not there, is he? And so the question arises in Jerusalem. Where is he? Now then, point number two. The scriptures are opened. And in the workings of God in the lives of individuals, anyone who acts upon light given by God will be led to the Bible. The scriptures are opened and Micah is read, "Thou Bethlehem." Now, I couldn't possibly tell you tonight. We could talk about it if you want, but I don't know. How is it that the scribes and the experts can read their Bible about Bethlehem and believe it, obviously? And dear old, no, not dear old, never mind, Herod, whatever he was. Herod wants to know what the Bible says and what time did you see the star? To my knowledge, not one of them made one step towards Bethlehem, content with where they were. But the scriptures told the wise man. And now here is just a lovely thing, it seems to me, from the Bible. Could you see these men with the light of the scriptures brought to them? He's born in Bethlehem, just a little town down the road, born in Bethlehem. But some one of them must have at some point said, "Yes, but." Yes, but. What do we got to do? Door to door, house to house? What do we have to do? And here's a lovely little thing that runs through your Bible. When a person acts upon light that God gives them, God will take them to the scriptures. The scriptures will take them to Christ. So they go into Bethlehem, and lo, the star which they saw in the east leads right to the house where the young child was. Now let me reinforce that just for a second. If I were to go back for a minute to Genesis 24, there's the story of a man, a servant, who was sent with a special errand, Abraham's servant, find a bride for Isaac. Now if you remember and follow my little parallel, he's going to leave here and go there to find someone he's never seen before. You remember how that story went? There is a point where he comes to a well and he says these lovely little words, "I being in the way the Lord led me." Just a second. "The house of my master's people." What's he done? He's been obedient to what was given to him. But now he reaches a point where, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? Now, obedient to the light that had been given, the instructions given, he comes to this point where he can't move further without special guidance. And do you remember the simplicity of Genesis 24? He just prayed. You know, the girl that comes out, let her say this. That's exactly what happened. So you see how I'm equating it to the fact that he moved on the truth that he had. When he reaches a point where I don't know what to do here, he prayed. And God gives them the additional light that he needs. Rebecca comes with the right words. Now, the practical point for all of us would be this. Acknowledge whatever truth God has given. I'm thinking now in the general sense of, as I said, the unsaved around us, but ourselves as well. Act upon the truth that's given to us. It'll take you to the scriptures. The scriptures will lead to Christ. And when you come to a point, what do I do now? It's time again to look to the Lord, who can give additional light to go in whatever direction He wants. Now you'll notice they come right to the house, right to the child, and they've come with the right motive, come to worship Him. My time is gone, so I'll say nothing about the three things that are mentioned here, but I will say this. I did read to you that with another warning from God, they went into their own country another way. Now, I don't have any problems, since I know a little bit about the geography here. I don't have any problems with understanding that they bypassed Jerusalem to get back home, for obvious reasons. But I am inclined to think this. I know that the Bible, in so many cases, gives us a spiritual situation. You know, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So that refers to creation. But I also know from John chapter 1 that there's just the spiritual implication in there somewhere. So when I read of these men going to their own country another way, in my own simplicity, I think this. Okay, they bypass Jerusalem for the obvious reasons. They don't want to confront Herod or Herod to deal with them. But has anybody ever come to Christ without going another way afterwards? You see, coming to know the Lord Jesus changes everything for everyone. So they went a different way. And I'm simply saying this, of course. When they got back home, they would have been different men. No, not really. They would have been changed men. They would have been men with a story to tell of how they left because of what they saw, of how the Bible was opened and the star led them to Him. We've seen the King. Makes all the difference. So, Christians, just keep them things in your mind. Act upon what God gives us. It'll lead us to the Scriptures. The Scriptures to the Son. May God bless His Word.